Episode 4003, Grow Great. It's about building a great business. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Kentrell, your host here at Grow Great, the podcast. You can find the show notes over at the website, growgreat.com. Easy, right? What business problem is keeping you up at night? Yeah, that's today's show, and we'll do it next. In the morning, the bed looks like we've been wrestling a bear. We tossed, we turned until, well, we finally just got up. We read a little bit, browsed the web some, even tried to watch something on Netflix, hoping that sleep would eventually come, but no, it didn't. Not much of it, anyway. In spite of our connections, sometimes found all over the world, and in spite of service professionals like attorneys and accountants, and in spite of a terrific inner circle of direct reports, you know, these managers that we've got that are extremely capable, CEOs can be among the loneliest and most sleep-deprived people on the planet. I once considered hiring myself out I was going to hire myself out at night for sleep study research because I figured I'm up. I might as well be getting paid for not sleeping. A capitalist to the core. Recently, I was discussing all the compliance requirements that are required of financial advisors. With a financial advisor, that's who I was talking with, and obviously she had some strong opinions about it. The money, the time, the HR investment that was required to wrestle that problem. I already had a little bit of knowledge about it because I've got a friend in that space, but it's still, every time I hear about it, it's just kind of staggering to me. I mean, there are companies, this is all they do. All they do is they help these people maintain compliance. I mean, that's their business. And so you think about all these resources that are put into play to make this happen. I mean, forget your politics. Forget my politics. Well, I don't have any politics really, except I'm not fond of anything that hampers our ability to operate in a free market when we're committed to doing the right thing. I mean, my business mantra has never been very sophisticated. It's never been very hard to understand. Always be honest, be competent, give more, make it right. Yeah, that's mine. What's yours? Do you have a business mantra? You can find the show notes today, by the way, if you go to growgreat.com. Just plug in the number 4003 in the search box for the website. Take you right there. Small business owners, they will readily, very quickly, they'll get in a pulpit anytime talk turns toward compliance issues, regulatory restrictions and tax rates and that kind of stuff. So as I'm listening to this business owner talk of how daunting it is to maintain compliance with all the regulations, she says, I'm afraid to do a break-even analysis on my compliance costs, but I should. And we agreed. Yeah, it's kind of like being sick, but I really don't know what's wrong. Ignorance is not bliss. It can be deadly. Her firm was handling the expense. I mean, well, what choice did they have? They didn't have a choice. But she was concerned with the ever mounting cost in both time and money, and she should be. Now, couple that with a pressure to deliver more dazzling service to customers at lower and lower cost. Hey, it's an old refrain. that we have heard many, many times. I've heard it many times since I first stepped into a hi-fi store when I was 16 to begin my first sales job. I remember the store owner at the time lamenting all the problems and all the pressure on profit margins and all the gripes about manufacturers and distributors and industry problems, business problems that keep us up at night. I'm happy to say that more often than not, I have found business owners and CEOs who were proactive, but that's no surprise. I mean, typically these are people with strong determination, tenacity, resiliency. If not, well, we wouldn't be where we are. That doesn't mean that we're successful in operating our business, though, or that we're good at managing the issues that confront our businesses, or even the ones that confront our lives. I mean, some of us are, some of us aren't, and some of us do well most of the time, but, you know, some sudden unforeseen challenge can lay us low. In just the last few months, well, really, the last 30 days, I've heard three CEOs going through a divorce. Now, as I hit the record button today, it is January the 7th, 2016. So we're talking over the holiday period. The holidays seem to be a favorite time for some people to decide enough. Just had enough. Had enough of you. Had enough of this marriage. I mean, it's sad. Well, as I listened to one particular story of a divorcing CEO, I could hear the pain. I could hear the sadness in his voice. It was apparent in his face. And I thought, I was thinking to myself, I felt awful for him, but I was thinking too, there is no way this is staying out of the office. There's no way this is staying out of his business. How could it? Impossible. He's the CEO. I'm sure he had had many, many sleepless nights leading up to this final death knell on his marriage. And I'm equally sure that most people at work had no idea. I would suspect that the people closest to him probably sensed something was wrong. Conversations turned toward those circumstances and how employees are now left to wonder, what's wrong with the boss? What's going on with the boss? And that can lead to some really awful cultural collateral damage. Never intended by us as the boss, as the leader, these personal problems that we have that become so vexing and, yeah, keep us awake at night. And we think, well, it's not business related, but it impacts us deep down. It's going to impact the company. I mean, as bad as his divorce was for him and for his family, the employees were likely thinking of something far worse, something that impacted them. It's reasonable. It's normal. I mean, it's not that they're uncaring about their CEO, but they have their own families. They have their own concerns. They have their own dreams. He's the boss, though, and his life has a direct impact on their life, professionally and personally. True servant-based leaders shoulder that burden. I mean, we just do. We understand how we impact the lives of our employees and our vendors and our financial partners and our customers. I mean, we keep piling on that weight until our knees buckle, right? And I've got a sign in my office bought by my daughter, who no doubt had grown very tired of hearing me say this phrase repeatedly. I've got a photograph of said sign over at the website in these show notes, growgreat.com, episode 4003. And the sign is a metal sign. It's got a blue background and white letters. And in all caps, it just simply says, "It is what it is." It's every leader I know says it. It is what it is. Divorce? A business problem? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sure is when you own the joint or when you're the CEO. A flat tire on the way to work that vexes you is also a business problem, especially when you hit the door ready to bite a nail into. I mean, ask your people if that's not a business problem. Yeah, it's a business problem. Now, then there are those strategic and those organizational issues. compliance stuff like the financial advisor, industry disruptors. Boy, we've all got that. I don't care what industry you're in. It's being disrupted. Somebody somewhere is disrupting your industry. Yes, and the government, they are probably right up front in line doing it, but lots of things are doing it. Technology challenges. The ever-present people problem, right? We got to find the right people. We got to put the right people in the best spots, and then we got to hang on to them. We got to train them, and then we have to hang on to them. There are always the inventory problems, payroll problems, lease or real estate problems, sales problems, cost containment problems, distribution problems, pricing problems, profit problems. I mean, the list just keeps going on and on and on. Pick your poison. I know the pain very, very well. Through the years, I have also learned a thing or three, actually a thing or four, about handling these things in a way that moves me from being uncomfortable, well, that's putting it mildly, to being positively action-oriented toward a workable solution. Heavy emphasis on that word, workable. Yeah, because some solutions, they're just pie in the sky, or they're just completely unreasonable. Maybe they're unreasonable because they're just so stinking expensive, or maybe they're unreasonable because they take more time than we've got. We've got this urgent thing. We don't have time for that. Yeah, that might work, but that would have worked if we would have implemented it 90 days ago. We ain't got 90 days. And while none of us enjoy firefighting, sometimes there is a fire. And in those cases, it's grab the management equivalent of a fire extinguisher. Let's get this blaze under control. I mean, we'll worry about the damage and rebuilding later. Right now, we got to stop the place from burning to the ground. Let me share with you four very practical and effective steps in conquering the demons that keep us up at night. I don't profess that this is, you know, some empirical list that, you know, has been vetted through countless Harvard studies. This is just practical, effective steps that I have proven time and again work for me. And hey, if it works for you, then great. I'm happy to share. That's the whole point of this. Number one, plan your attack. Even if the plan is imperfect, and even if you know it's imperfect, you've heard the adage that even a bad plan beats no plan. Well, it certainly is true when it comes to the issues that keep us up as CEOs or business owners. Now, the tough thing is the wondering what we should do. I wonder what I should do. Should I? Our minds, we get on that hamster wheel and we start wondering and questioning, should I do this? Should I do that? Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. Yeah. And the longer you stay in that land of limbo, in that hamster wheel, wondering what you should do, the more sleep you're going to lose and the more weary you're going to become. This is the sleepless death spiral. Yeah, that's I coined the phrase. I don't know if I coined the phrase or not, but that's exactly what it is. It's this sleepless death spiral that we have all experienced when we are just vexed and frustrated and worried beyond the everyday issues that we regularly face. I mean, come on. Most problems don't keep us up at night, thankfully. But these elephants in the room, they prevent those sheep from entering our room so we can count them and get some shut-eye. What's the very next step you need to make? I mean, this is how extensive the planning needs to be at this point in the game. What very next thing should you do? Who do you need to call? What do you need to do right now? This can be much, much tougher than it sounds because as CEOs and as business owners, we want to connect the dots all the way to the end, right? That's what we do. Sometimes we'll spend too much time trying to do that only to find out, guess what? We missed a dot, or we connected two dots that never should have been connected in the first place. And besides, there are circumstances that our next one step will likely bring about that we may never have seen coming had we not taken that first step. I mean, the issue very well may change once we just head in the right direction. So while you're up tonight pondering the problem, whatever the problem may be, wrap your head around answering this question. What one thing can I do right now or first thing in the morning to start fixing this problem? Yeah, I know it's a one-step plan. It doesn't have to be a 40-page document. One step. One step is a plan. Got news for you. And that one step will fuel your mind to think more clearly about the next step. Because right now, you just need to do something meaningful, knowing that you can always retreat, you can always pivot, you can always morph your ideas and your decisions to suit the situation as it more fully develops. This step prevents crisis management when crisis management isn't necessary, and when crisis management, frankly, is ineffective. Sometimes you got to manage a crisis with crisis management. But very often, hitting a panic button is probably not the best thing to do. Secondly, don't overthink it and delay. Most of us, we are prone to overthinking after the fact as CEOs and as business owners. I mean, by nature, most of us, I'll just put it in my, let's couch it this way. Most of the CEOs that I have ever known were decisive people, are decisive people, able to make fast decisions with, frankly, with very limited, but compelling, and that's important, compelling information. I mean, how many decisions have you made where you had total knowledge? Not many. You've made a lot of decisions where you just had a thimble full of information, but that information for you was very compelling, and so you made the decision that you made. That's not hard for most of us in these roles. What may be hard is doing that in our mind, making a decision, and then prior to execution of that decision, we begin to wonder if we ought to do something else. Or maybe we wonder, I should just sit here and not do anything for about an hour or two, or maybe for a day or two. Here's the problem. Delay causes greater vexation, and vexation in a CEO causes untold anxiety throughout a company. So now we've just added on to the problem. We've got the problem. We've still got the problem. Now we've added on to the problem because now our vexation is growing. And guess what? That vexation has a ripple effect. I talked about a ripple effect the last time. I talked about it in the context of a CEO's own professional development. Just go back and check out episode 4002. Well, it works in reverse here. When a CEO is fretful and full of anxiety, it ripples to everybody around him. And pretty soon, well, the whole place is worried. Problem is, they may not know why they're worried. They're just worried because they see the worry in the leader. Listen, that's too high of a price. That's way too high of a price to pay for putting off what you can do right now, even if what you are attempting right now isn't perfect and isn't the final solution. Hey, at least you're trying. And you're trying right now. Besides, you want to show your people how important speed is in handling problems. Yes, we want to think them through. Yes, we want to be thoughtful. Yes, we want to have as much data as we can get. But you want to lead a remarkable, decisive, proactive organization. Then guess what you've got to be? Yeah, you've got to be remarkable, decisive, and proactive under the most intense pressure. So don't overthink it and don't delay in this first step. Third, make your next move based on new information. I don't play chess. Well, let me qualify that. I don't play chess well. My son used to play quite a lot, and every now and again I would play him. I understood only enough to know how the pieces can move. He understood the strategy, something I never learned. So he'd begin by making a move. I'd make a move. My move would impact the move he made, especially later on in the game, because he understood strategy. Well, that's how this problem that's keeping you awake at night, that's how it ought to be handled. You make a move. Maybe it's ideal. Maybe it's not. Doesn't matter. I mean, it's not going to be wrong for long because based on the outcome, you're going to make an adjustment. We both know you're going to make an adjustment. So depending on how your first action impacts the situation, you're going to decide what to do next. Now, did your first move seem to lower the pressure of the problem? Great. Great. Then now, what are you going to do? Well, you take in that new information, make adjustments, and make your next move. Now, if your first move made matters worse, then you got to take action quickly to reverse matters. I mean, either way, your next action is based on the impact that your first action had on the whole situation. It's what you do in running your business. You're always looking for data to support whether you're moving upward or backward. Every leader I know is, even those of us that have great information or think we do, we want more. We want it faster. We want it more accurate because we know that the faster we can get the information, then the faster we can adapt and we can adjust. And sometimes the trend, it's just slight. Other times it's extreme. But guess what we're looking for? We want to know the minute it starts to trend one way or the other. Why? So we can make a decision. We're hungry. We're hungry for this data. We need feedback to know how good our aim is. So think of it this way. Go ahead and take that first shot. Take the best aim that you can, full well knowing that the scope may be off, the adjustment may be out of line. Who cares? Take the shot. You got to take a shot. Then you can more closely look at the target so you know how to better aim the second shot. Fourth, keep doing it. Yeah, it's the prototypical rinse and repeat story. The more we take action, the easier it is to keep taking action. The more we worry about something, the easier it is to keep worrying about something. You decide. You decide. There's your choices, action or worry. Action, it may keep you up at night, but only because you're working. Worry, on the other hand, it'll keep you up at night, and it'll just completely whip your tail and exhaust you. Yeah, it will. You know it will. Weary leaders shouldn't remain weary for very long because the company is looking at us for leadership. A sleep-deprived CEO in a funk, not fit for battle. So my admonition is get battle ready and stay that way because your business depends on it. Your career depends on it. Right about now, it'd be a great time, I think, to introduce you to a free 90-minute CEO One Big Thing introductory coaching session. That's right. If you're awake at night because there's one big thing that is frustrating you beyond words, then I'd like to offer you a solution at no cost, no obligation. There's a link over at the website that you can visit. Or, should you choose, you can go to BULANetwork.com/onebigthing. BULANetwork.com/onebigthing. That's all there is to it. I fully explained it all right there. I appreciate you listening. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm coming to you from the Yellow Studio in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. So, go get some sleep.